Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to hear the truth, unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
Oh, what a good Friday. Well, here in Texas, we got more snow last night. So it's not exactly a really cozy Friday. It's actually pretty miserable. Monkey wrench and all that's going on in North Texas. Goodness gracious. Nuts. A lot of snow last night to cover the ice that we've already had. Don't know what kind of monkey wrench is put in the parties, but I would imagine some. But now it's gear up day, folks. It's Friday, and we're teed up and ready to go. Teed up and ready to go. The players are in serious mode now. Curfew's kicked in, ready to roll. But as I say all the time, now I'm picking the Packers to win, okay? But when it comes to the smut that the media or the internet or anybody wants to throw out there, the Steelers definitely get the short end of the stick. How is it that on Tuesday night, and I see this yesterday, that there's an internet video. First of all, fans should be ashamed of themselves for doing this. Ashamed of themselves for being allowed, and you know they're not held accountable or responsible for any of it, to be able to go in and just videotape a guy because he's a celebrity. So Ben Roethlisberger and his teammates are in a piano bar singing and having a good time on Tuesday. And some clown videotapes it, some fan, or I don't even know, fan, whatever you want to call him, asshole, I guess I'd call him, decides to just videotape these guys having a good time and puts it on the internet. And now it's all over SportsCenter, people want to know, and the questions asked on PTI, should Ben be allowed to go out? What? On a Tuesday? I don't understand why. Singing at a piano bar with his teammates, I believe it's about camaraderie. If this was Friday night that it happened and he broke curfew, I get it. But just, people just won't let up. Every day it's something new. Well, why does the guy have to sit in his hotel room for seven straight days, and not be able to go have dinner and hang out with his fellas, sing a few piano bar songs? If he wants to have a beer or a cocktail, so be it, and get back. What's the big deal, folks? Why? Well, would this guy have to stop his life because he's made mistakes in the past, and it's Tuesday during Super Bowl week? I don't think you should worry about Ben Roethlisberger and the way he plays. Okay, it's amazing to me how many people out there, and the evil part of the fans or the evil part of these guys who think it's cool to do that. I'd love to see somebody start to get in the life of an average person, of the person who isn't an athlete or celebrity, and follow them around with a camera and bother them just to see how much they like it. See how much they like it. Funny story. A long time ago, this one guy kept stalking. Somehow got my number, was stalking me, a dude. And, you know, calling late at night with his buddies and laughing drunk and talking sports into my voice. Nice. You know, interrupted me and my family. Finally, he called once from a phone number that I tracked. So I proceeded on my national radio show to give his number out to everybody and say, let's give him a taste of his own medicine. And I did that. Wouldn't stop. Finally got the police, and they put a restraint. They took care of him. But I gave him a little taste of his own medicine. This was a handful of years ago. Just a guy, you know, drunk with his buddies, and they kept doing call at 4:30 in the morning, 2:30, every night, all the time. So finally, his number showed up, and I gave his number out on national radio. And I said, everybody at a certain time, just call him and stalk him and harass him. You know that he got back in touch with me and apologized profusely and said, I can't handle the relentless barrage. He couldn't take it. I said, really? He couldn't take it. See, that's where the so-called normal non-celebrity would get a taste of your own medicine. It's not that fun, is it? Somebody walking around with a camera at your house or stalking you, or at a bar, every move you make is scrutinized. Yeah? So there, how you like it? You can kiss my ass in the same thing, in the same way. Ridiculous. Ben Roethlisberger's not allowed to go. Do you guys got a problem with that? Why do you have a problem? At 888-346-9144, Ben Roethlisberger gets completely crucified, and everybody's going to say, well, look, he's a pig from the past. Just like I've heard people say, yeah, some guy I told you said, well, in college he was a, well, did you go to college with him? No, that's just what I heard. Exactly. He said, she said stuff's enough. But 888-346-9144, you tell me why Ben Roethlisberger is not allowed to go out on a Tuesday night with his friends. Why? I'd really like to understand why, and somebody give me some insight on why it's a problem. And tell me why it's okay for some stalker that wants to tape him on his phone or on a little video camera, whatever it was, and then put it on the internet so everybody, why is that fair? Because he's a celebrity, you think, because Ben Roethlisberger makes more money than the other guy at the bar, that he's entitled to have his life just constantly scrutinized and do it, even when he's not doing anything wrong? No, folks, you're wrong. Because he's a celebrity, doesn't entitle you to jump into his private life. It just doesn't. Now he's out in public having fun. He didn't do anything wrong. It was a Tuesday having beers. Now, see, he gets crucified for not being one of the guys or one of his teammates and hanging around him. So he goes out with his teammates, building camaraderie, staying on the same page. I always believe that you should do that. A quarterback should be buying his offensive line and fullback and guys like that food every week. Every week during the season, he should go out and treat and buy the food and the beers every week. Pick up the tab. He makes a lot of money. That's the way you build camaraderie, because I think teams that hang out together and respect each other off the field play harder for each other on the field. So he's out with some teammates on a Tuesday. Why is that a problem? It's funny. It's Ben Roethlisberger and his teammates. Who else was he out with? So we just assume that every time he's out, boy, he's up to no good, huh? I think it's pathetic. I think any fans that thrive on that, I think you're pathetic if you're one of them. I think if you're the type who goes in there and tapes conversations or videotapes some guy at a bar or the guy's kind enough to take a picture with you, I've seen those kind. Oh, can we have a picture? Take a picture with him. Before you know it, it ends up all over the internet, even though it's just a normal picture. You know, his arms around you or shaking hands or something, but the person can't wait to put it on the internet. The same person that stalks is the same person that kisses ass and says, ooh, I got a picture with Ben Roethlisberger. Pathetic. Pathetic. And no, I have absolutely zero respect for those kinds of fans. And if you're one of them, consider yourself in that category. You bet. Female or male, I don't care. If you're the hoe that wants to hook up with a celebrity and then he ends up making you a scorned woman, well, then you're just as big a hoe as he is a pig. Okay? Real simple. And in his past, what woman walks into a bathroom with a guy in the middle of a bar hoping that somebody blocks the door and then turns around and says no, and no means no, he shouldn't have done it. But what woman even makes that trip back to a bathroom with a dude who's a celebrity? You think you're going back there to talk and have a conversation? Yeah, hey, Ben, let's go to the shitter and have a conversation. No, that's not why they went back there. So you could say all you want. And yes, whether you consider him a pig, whether it was true or whether it wasn't, whether it was alleged or whether it was whatever. But you know what? What about the girl who strolled back with him to the bathroom? exactly my point, and you get it. But if you're a fan who stands in bars and taking pictures and videos of a guy just because you want to send it on the internet to try and get him in trouble in a bar because he's having a beer with his friends on a Tuesday during the week, then you're a pig. And if you're one of those, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. 888-346-9144. You've got a problem with Ben Roethlisberger having a beer with his teammates on a Tuesday? Call in and tell me why. It seems like it's a subject every day. Like I said, I'm picking the Packers. But I'll guarantee you at some point during this week, the Green Bay Packers have been out to dinner. Teammates that had a beer. I'm reading in the paper, Charles Woodson has a wine tasting event with his name on it. Now, whether he shows up or not, or whether it's during the week, or if it's today, or if it was Wednesday, okay. Still a wine tasting event, but that's okay. But Ben can't go to dinner on a Tuesday and have a beer with his friends without it being on the internet and people asking the question, should he be allowed to go out? Come on. You know what? Like I said, as I pick the Packers and believe that they're going to win the game, picked them in August, I'm going to stick with it. I'll guarantee you that there's been some Packers that have gone out and had beers and hung out and laughed and chased some ladies and had a look and, you know, probably ended up at a strip club at some point or had a look, you know, went out dancing with a lady or sitting with their, you know, doing their thing. I'll guarantee it's happened. I'll guarantee it's happened. We don't know who those guys are, though, are we? Do we? But we know Hines Ward was in a strip club supposedly on Monday. Ben Roethlisberger singing a piano bar on Tuesday. Man alive, what do you think, the Green Bay Packers are all virgins? Not one of them drinks, and they just sit in their hotel room? If all of them sat in their hotel room all week and all they did is think about the game, the Green Bay Packers will get their ass kicked. Believe me on this one. If the Packers came to town and all they did was sit in their hotel room and practice and go to media day and practice and stare at the TV and watch reruns of CSI Miami in their hotel room at night, order room service and not go out to dinner one time with their buddies and not go have a beer and relax or go, you know, to a place and look at some hot girls floating around in a bar, they'll get their ass kicked on Sunday. There's a thing called being too focused and too into it, because when you do that, you don't have the ability to adjust when things don't go exactly like they are on the chalkboard. When you sit there and stewed over something, sitting at the edge of your bed staring at the ceiling, ooh, we got a big Super Bowl game going up all week long. Guess what? That's a little bit too much. But I don't know. Anybody spotted a Packer in a bar this week? I rest my case. Please don't tell me. And like I said, I'm picking the Packers. But Roethlisberger, it's amazing. It's amazing what some of these people out there in this world think. And you know what? I think it's actually kind of weak that people are out there. Ben Roethlisberger's a piano bar. And it's like one of the lead stories on SportsCenter that you want to know if Ben Roethlisberger's allowed or should be able to go out. Mike Tomlin's got to be laughing at these clowns. 888-346-9144. I don't have a problem if you think that Ben Roethlisberger shouldn't be. Let me know. I mean, but come on, guys. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? And this guy, if he wins his third Super Bowl ring, is about to flick his middle finger in the air and tell all of you to kiss his ass. With a smile on his face saying, by the way, I not only had one beer, I had 10 beers on Thursday. How you like them apples? If they're able to go win this, then what? Then we're going to say, oh, I guess going out on a Tuesday night and having a beer with your teammates is a good idea? And if they lose, oh, that's right. That's right. If the Pittsburgh Steelers get beat by Green Bay, we're going to go back to the fact that it was Tuesday night the reason Ben was at a piano bar singing, wasn't focused. On Tuesday night, there was a Green Bay Packer that was drunk somewhere, I'm sure. If not, had a few beers and dinner with his buddies and was seen and was talking to a female somewhere. Okay? Somewhere. And if you don't think that, then you're out of your damn mind. Okay? It's fascinating to me, the focus that some of these people and clowns, it's like we once again got to create news instead of just let it happen. If it happens tonight and he's out past curfew drinking, it's a story. Not yesterday, but every day it's something new. Who cares if Ben Roethlisberger was in a bar singing on Tuesday night? cares? I don't care. Nor should you. But you do, and I don't get it. Don't get it. Some other things we'll talk about, obviously, more of the final breakdown of this game for the Steelers and the Green Bay Packers. Maybe pick a score, although they're hard to pick, and an MVP. Ndamukong Suh was a rookie of the year this year. No shock there. This is a superstar. It's going to be it's like Pouncey on the offensive side of the ball. These are two guys, Ndamukong Suh in Detroit, going to be around and be playing in Pro Bowls for a long time, dominating the league. Donald Driver held out yesterday, quadriceps injury, so which is probably the best thing. At this stage of the game, I don't need him to practice. He's ready to go. Pouncey, if he does not practice today, Mike Tomlin will not play him on Sunday. Just practice again yesterday, and like I said yesterday, don't underestimate how important having your center in there is. But if he's not practicing, he can't be fully healthy. If he doesn't practice today, you know, Steelers, I mean, they're going to have to cut it off and say, you know what, have to cut off the speculation and say no practice, no play. So at least the other center can get a focus on if he's going to be starting or not. I mean, he deserves that. So the backup can be, you know, mentally ready. Obviously, physically, he's been practicing, but to get mentally ready. Some other news in sports. The Los Angeles Lakers are in turmoil, folks. And once football season's over, I've been waiting to hit this hard. What's wrong? Spurs beat them. Now, they're still good. I mean, we say what's wrong. The Lakers are still the Lakers, and they're capable of blowing you out and doing all those things. But there's something missing from the Lakers. Mitch Kupchak, their GM, even said, maybe you have to make a trade to shake things up because they're not as good as they should be. And I don't believe the Lakers are capable of winning an NBA Finals right now. I don't. I don't believe it. Matter of fact, I believe there's three or four or five teams that now the Lakers can turn it on with their skills. Don't misunderstand me. Paul Gasol's going to the All-Star game. We know Kobe is. But the Lakers are not only capable of winning it if they can turn it around, but they're capable of getting beat in the first round. That's how much the Lakers are struggling without consistency, and that's something we have to hit. That is something we have to hit. No question about it. Now, somebody please tell me how Kevin Love's not in the All-Star game, in the NBA All-Star game. You got to tell me how Kevin Love's not an All-Star. Criminal. A lot of that going on, these people who vote. I don't get it. But we'll talk about injuries. Got some NBA. If you have an idea what's wrong with the Lakers, something's missing. Or do the Lakers, you know, when you Jerry West, the former GM's coming out and speaking against them. You know, Kobe's getting criticized by Phil a couple weeks ago. Is this team, I mean, is the window actually closing? It can't be, can it? Can't be. They were the overwhelming favorite in the West before the season started. They're not the best team in the West. They may have the best talent, but they're not the best team in the West. Forget the record. You know what? I'm one of those guys. I don't care about records right now. But in a seven-game series, they ain't beating the Celtics in the NBA Finals. Right now, the Lakers aren't getting to the NBA Finals. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're Unfiltered. It's Voice America Sports. Got some NBA talk mixed in with this Super Bowl stuff today right here. We'll be right back.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or Twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Get the inside scoop on the Georgia Bulldogs. Tune in to Keelan Johnson on College Football Game Day on the radio and every day on KeelanJohnson.com. on Keelan's Keeping It Real Radio, you can talk to Keelan and his former teammates about the Bulldogs, college football, and all things sports. Keelan's the go-to analyst for Bulldog football on pre- and post-game television on KeelanJohnson.com. And now, every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in every college game day for Keelan Johnson, Keeping It Real Radio. Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific. Get ready to talk sports with someone who definitely has an opinion, but respects yours as well. The beginning of every week is Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. We'll talk about what happened this weekend and what to look forward to next weekend. Keenan and his guests are ready to discuss the issues with you about football and sports in general. It's Crunch Time with Keenan Howery, every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Sports Channel. And make your voice heard.
Is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
So we got Kevin Love missing out in the All-Star game, which I don't get, okay? This guy has played phenomenal on the glass, rebounding and scoring all year long. I mean, he leads the league in rebounds, which is crazy. Averaging over 15 a game. He deserves to be in the All-Star game, folks. Deserved to be in the All-Star game, got screwed. But you know what? It's all about hype. It's all about hype. You know, Derrick Rose is having a great year. I still would have, Rajon Rondo would be the starter if I had the vote. But that's okay. He'll get in there and play. But how you leave Kevin Love off is beyond me. And one other thing before we get out to Anthony in New York is today Andy Pettit retires. Is he a Hall of Famer? Questions being asked all over, and I know it's football time, and we'll ask this question in spring training, but we might as well ask it while it's hot. Is Andy Pettit a Hall of Famer, one of the great postseason pitchers of all time? Does he belong in the Hall of Fame? We'll bring up his numbers and talk about those here shortly. But a lot going on. The Ben Roethlisberger talk drives me crazy. Drives me nuts. Break that down. Injuries. Will Pouncey play? Kevin Love left off the All-Star ballot, or off the All-Star team, should I say. The Los Angeles Lakers, to me, are not the same team, and I've grown up a Laker fan my whole life. Not the same team. I think there's some inner turmoil in there. I really do. And Andy Pettit, is he a Hall of Famer? Is he a Hall of Famer? Now, remember who you're dealing with when it comes to Major League Baseball writers and voters. I can tell you this. He ain't getting in his first ballot. But people like Andy Pettit. Don't tell you, here's the crazy thing about it. Voters, if they like you, they'll put you in. It's strange. If you're a borderline guy and they like you or don't like you, they'll put you in before they won't. They may even put you in before a guy ahead of you that deserves it more. Let's get out to Anthony in New York. Anthony, what's going on?
Sean, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. What's going on with you today, buddy?
Actually, a lot. What I find funny is it's the Friday before the Super Bowl, and there's more baseball and basketball to talk than there is football, it seems.
Crazy, you know? Isn't it?
It seems like, you know, it's like, I don't know, like, I'm almost out of stuff to talk about it. There's, you know, it's just settle it on the field. That's it. You know,
Well, you know what? We broke down positions. We broke down, you know, what else is there to break down other than the fact that let's line up and play now and see what happens. It's time. Yeah. And you know what? Between now and then, now it's just getting yourself today's one final, you know, they'll walk through special teams and short yardage and 2 minute and goal line, get themselves a non-padded practice and just, you know, get out there and go through it, make sure they're buttoned up. Tomorrow's a walkthrough, and you tee it up Sunday. So the truth is, it's just basically now the mental part of it. It's time to play. Let's go.
Yeah. What One of the things I just wanted to talk about with the game is, and very quickly, was just how you brought up the media and what they're, you know, throwing around. The Steelers get the short end of the stick. What I found funny is, and every morning I'll go on ESPN and Yahoo just to see what, you know, and look at all the polls they put up, you know, just to see, like, you know, it's a good way to gauge, like, what the nation is thinking, not just yourself. So when the matchup was determined, Steelers-Packers, they, you know, they posted a bunch of things. Who do you want to win the Super Bowl? Who is going to win the Super Bowl? And, you know, about a week and a half ago, it was 50-50 down the middle. You know, everyone was picking. Never since this whole, like, smear campaign has started, as of, like, Monday, it's you would be shocked. All these polls have gone from 50-50. Now, who do you want to win? It's Packers, easily in the 60s%, and everybody has the Packers winning the game.
It's almost 70-30, and it's amazing to me. I honestly thought, Anthony, going into this week, you know, when the table was set last week, when we finally found out who was going to Super Bowl, I thought the Pittsburgh Steelers would be a 3 or 4 point favorite.
So did I.
And then, but it's amazing what the media and the smear campaign can do to make it to the point where now, you know, people are like, oh, they want the underdog Packers, even though they're not the underdog in the game. People talk about them like they're the underdog. Mm-hmm. And they have gone in, and the media has beaten up the Steelers so bad by every move they've made.
Yep.
That now it's in the 60s to the high 30s, to, you know, as far as who they want to win and who they think's going to win. And, I mean, it's absolutely amazing how the media can twist and turn, and a fan for a stupid video of Ben Roethlisberger on a Tuesday to get people to say, and I'm going to tell you right now, which all the more reason makes me start to believe that I'm not comfortable if I'm a Packer with this.
No.
I'm really not, because I'm telling you what, the Steelers love this stuff, dude. You know they do, Anthony. They love this.
Yeah.
Because they thrive on all this me against the world, you know, when it comes to fines and late hits and all this and our quarterback. I'm telling you right now, I fully expect Pittsburgh to play a great game. I do.
Yeah, it makes it real scary. The one thing I haven't seen change, though, is you've seen, like, you know, the polls change with who do you want to win, who is going to win, but that Vegas line has stayed the same since last. I think it's still a 2.5, which means the people that, you know, the people who, the diehards who are putting money on it, they're not buying into it. It's staying
exactly
where.
You mean the people who have a clue?
Yeah, the people who have a clue, that number's staying the same.
Exactly. Not moving a lick, is it?
No.
Ben Roethlisberger being in a bar singing on Tuesday night didn't affect it at all, did it?
No, I guess they're thinking up. He's, you know, Ben is being himself, going out with it, which is good. They want to see that. They don't want to see it. You know, if Ben was locked in a closet somewhere, he's not being himself. It's good to see the pressure is not getting to him. He's not afraid to go out. You know, taking the risk that somebody probably is going to film him, take a picture, go to TMZ, wherever they want to go, and it's going to be news. But, you know, it's just, you know, I feel bad for him, and I think he's handled this situation so well this week. You know,
oh my gosh, yeah. And you know, you make a great point. A lot of times, Anthony, what happens when people get beat up like they do, they disappear.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. Been there, I get that.
Right.
But Ben is that Ben. You know what? The easy thing for Ben would have been to do is stay in his hotel room, order room service, never go out with the fellas, sit there and stew over it, and wonder why he's allowing silly ass fans and media to dictate his life. He made a mistake or two, and it, you know, has been suspended, blah, blah, blah. And I was always going to have – there's going to be people that are going to call him, you know, give him nicknames that are dirty, that are mean and the rest of it. You know, the girl that went with him to the bathroom, we don't give her any nickname, do we?
No.
Not that – I'm not – believe me, no means no. I'm not condoning what he did. What he allegedly did. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not condoning any of it. But the fact of the matter is, the gal who strolled to the bathroom with him, he wasn't going there to talk, was he? So,
no.
So you know what? What do we give? What's the nickname we give her? Virgin, sweetheart. I mean, you know what I'm saying. So save it. This was for a minute on the stroll there seemed like a two-way street. Now I don't know what happened. I don't condone it. I got a daughter. I hate it. And the truth is, I think rapists ought to be treated. And if they are that, like murders, lock them up, throw away the key. That being said, guy's not in jail. I'm one of those guys. Redemption. I mean, I let it take its toll. See what happens. And so far, it seems that he's handled the situation well. But for me, it would have been easy to sit in a hotel room and make sure that everybody approved of your actions during the week.
Right.
But to go out with your teammates and to say, screw it, I'm a leader of this, I'm going to do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And he went out and started singing and having a few cocktails and eating with his teammates. I almost think he's snickering at the rest of the world. I do.
Yeah, it's just.
I believe there's a part of him that says, "This is what I do, folks. And if I want to have a beer on a Tuesday, I don't care what you think." It's almost as if he and I think that's the way he's going about it's the right way. I do. He's not talking about it. He's just taking care of his business. And I'll be shocked if he doesn't go out and play like I expect him to.
Yeah, I'm with you. I expect him to play real well. And seeing yep. him do all this, you know, go out, you know, and the way he's handling this whole media thing, it's almost like he you know, we hear a lot of guys say, I've changed, I've done this. But it almost seems like with him, you have to believe him. It almost seems like he has changed his life, you know, with his personality. Like,
right.
I think this is finally it.
But it doesn't mean he has to die. It doesn't mean he has to act dead.
No.
Go out. And it's so funny, Anthony, and as I'm sure you heard me say, is do we think that not one Green Bay Packers checked out a girl or put his arm around her or had a beer and went out to dinner with the teammates the whole week?
Right, yeah, exactly.
You would think they've all sat in their room, 53 players, doing nothing this week, right?
Exactly, yep. Yeah,
all of them. Trust me, that's not the case, and you and I both know it.
Exactly. And then going on to, I wanted to hit the whole All-Star thing, with especially Kevin Love. And is this the All-Star game? You know, this is where I think the NBA really comes up short when it comes to, and the reason the ratings are all the way down. They do a horrible job, you know, outside of your major teams where all the superstars are all bunched up. Like, you know, the Celtics should not have four All-Stars. The Heat shouldn't have, you shouldn't be sending the whole Heat and Celtic rosters to the All-Star game. While Tim Duncan has, you know, led that charge with the Spurs, having one of the best records in the league, you know, he's only putting up 13-9, and it's not all about numbers, but every fan knows about Tim Duncan. They don't all know about Kevin Love. You know, Kevin Love putting up 21-15 a night. I don't care his team has 11 wins. The guy is an All-Star. Here in, you know, New York, Raymond Felton playing 40 minutes a night. He should be there over Ray Allen. You know, I just...
Oh, there's no doubt. See, we've thrown... Bosch made the All-Star team, right?
Yeah, why, I don't know, but he did.
That's what I'm saying. But he made it, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, he did.
How?
Right.
How? No, I mean, no offense, how? And you know what? As much as I love him because he's a popular guy, Yao Ming didn't deserve to get voted. I mean, I know we're, you know, the worldwide vote and the rest of it.
Right.
Yao Ming shouldn't. Come on. Folks, he can't play anyway. He shouldn't be in the All-Star game. And here's a guy like Kevin Love, has played his heart out on a team that sucks.
Yep.
And as good as Tim Duncan, I don't believe in lifetime achievement awards, Anthony. I mean, when it comes to voting in an All-Star, it's year by year. Duncan's 13-9. Does not deserve to put him in the. He does not deserve to be an All-Star. Now he may go get another championship ring.
Yes.
But when it comes to All-Star, we don't. I hate to say it, but the All-Star is not based on team thing. This is an individual award.
It is.
You get voted in the All-Star because you score or what have you, and you do these things, and they vote you. But it's a popularity contest, and there's no damn way on the planet that Kevin Love shouldn't be on this All-Star team, and that there's no damn way on the planet that Chris Bosh is an All-Star.
No.
Sorry, he's not.
No, I mean, you look at Bosch, and the two I picked out were Bosch and Ray Allen, and I look, and I'm like, okay, well, you could have easily put Andrew Bogut, who the casual fan doesn't know who he is, and Raymond Felton in over those two guys.
No question about it.
I looked at the rosters, I said, you know, and this is the reason why the NBA, you know, ratings are so down. They just do such a, you know, we see enough of the Heat, Celtics, Lakers, you know, Mavericks every Thursday night, every Monday night. You know, it's the same teams on. You know, I'm glad that they're finally pushing the Clippers a little bit with Blake Griffin. You know, he's sort of gotten his push.
Absolutely. Well, he's making it impossible on them not to.
Oh, he's talk about a superstar in the making. The guy is sick. I mean, most of the time you see these guys come out of college, it's he's not going to be as good. This guy is as good, if not better. Even
oh
if coming
God.
Up the knee surgery.
Yeah, watching him play, even after you watched him in college dominate. I actually think he's more explosive post-knee surgery. It's crazy. It's almost like it was a wake-up call for him that he had to even work harder. The explosiveness to the basket, and if he continues to develop a jump shot where he can kill you from 20 feet, 18 feet, 15 feet, he's going to be an MVP in this league. And I'm not so sure right now, considering that that the guy doesn't deserve some MVP votes as we speak. He ain't going to win it. But you know what I'm saying? Considering where he's at and what he's doing, I'm not so sure we can't give him votes now. And I'll tell you another guy who could have made the All-Star team, who I thought, when I said it on this show, was a huge off-season pickup. I think Tyson Chandler.
Right.
Tyson Chandler should have made it ahead of Tim Duncan.
You're exactly right. And I've been watching more of the NBA this year because the Knicks are decent.
Right.
The other night was probably the first night when Dallas was here that I actually watched Chandler play. You know, a full game, and what he brings. It's it's those little things, and you watch him play, and it's like, wow, he's finally reaching that, you know, potential that he had when he came into the league. I mean, but you're exactly right. A guy like that should be over there over Tim Duncan. But, like, you know, casual fans are never going to be exposed to these guys for as long as they keep picking teams like this.
No question about it. You know what's interesting about Chandler, and I had said when the season started after about 10 games, that this may end up being one of the most important pickups because of when you look at what the chemistry of a Mavericks team, what do they always seem to miss? An inside physical presence.
Yeah.
They can score at one end and can be enough to give you an elbow at the other end and get you, you know, double-digit rebounds and be a presence in the middle. You know, in the past, Dampier, I mean, they haven't had that. Even when they made the run against – when they were in the NBA Finals up 2-0 and the Heat beat them four straight, they did not have an inside presence. They were just good enough that they're great shooters with Jet Terry and Nowitzki, but they did not have a dominant inside presence to where you could bully them.
Right.
And they finally got a guy, you can't bully him. And
no.
I just, it's a joke, and there's no way that, you know, three or four of these All-Stars deserve to be on there, but it's hype. You're exactly right. You'll see him on ABC Sunday. You'll see him on TNT Wednesday, NBA TV on Tuesday. I mean, it just goes on and on. So you're seeing like eight teams 90% of the time.
Right. And another guy who they left off, the third leading scorer in the league, Monte Ellis from Golden State, didn't get on.
Yeah, so, and you know what? Nobody, as a casual fan, you ask him, who's Monte Ellis? Well, he's the third leading scorer in the league, pretty damn good, but he plays for Golden State. Oh, he doesn't deserve to be an All-Star. Well, really?
Yeah.
Really?
I say what they should do is just expand the rosters. Why not? I mean, I don't understand why it's only a couple of, you know, was it 12 guys?
Yeah, you put three extra guys on each team. Who cares? I mean, go up and down, get them fresh legs. You don't like to play. I mean, it's a game for the fans, isn't it? And this is supposed to be just no defense, alley-oop dunks and all that until last minute to see who wins. And be making 140 to 137. Add three more guys. Get three more guys on both sides and give us more fresh legs. Who cares?
That's the easiest way to solve this. Just add three guys.
Exactly. Well, you're in New York, Anthony. I know you're not a Yankee guy, right?
Right.
Per se, you're a Mets guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is Andy Pettit, let me give you some numbers real quick, and I know you know him.
Yep.
240 wins, 138 losses, a 3.88 ERA, 16 seasons. So the postseason setting, he's 19-10 in the postseason with 3.83 ERA.
Right.
Four world champ. Well, let's see, 5 world championships.
Yeah.
His last one being 2009. When you look at those numbers, his consistency in the postseason, his durability for 16 seasons, is he a Hall of Famer? And does the HDH admittance in the 1 year taint that at all? Or it's almost kind of been brushed under the carpet because he came out so quick and said why he used it. So I'm not so sure that's going to be a strike against him. Is he a Hall of Famer?
I'm so glad you brought his name up, and I was going to talk about this anyway, but yes, I think he is. He's one of those guys, his numbers are great, 240 wins, a sub-4 ERA in a juiced ball era, and when the players are juiced, he might have been juiced himself. But I think when you look at what he did in the postseason, and even now, if Andy Pettit came back this season at the age of 39, if you said to me, Game 7 of the World Series, give me who you want to start the game, his name would come into the conversation.
Oh, all of Major League Baseball, I'd pick. You could give me five guys that now people are going to say, well, I want a Lincecum. And yeah, I get that.
Right.
But you're talking about understanding the game situation and the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't get past five before I mentioned his name.
Yeah.
And on the Yankees, God love. I mean, I know they've got Sabathia who you'd want first, but I'm going to tell you what, in the postseason, I would have to consider, just consider saying, well, man, or if we had to get a win. Somehow, some way, Pettit's name has to come up. There's no doubt.
It has to. I mean, you can even go back to the last game that he pitched versus Texas. He gave up the 2-run homer to Hamilton in the first inning, and then gave up nothing after that. Shut him down for 7 innings.
Are you going to be? You want to come on for a few more minutes after this break?
Yeah, no problem.
More stuff to talk. Because I want to finish this Pettit conversation. Because you'll get the naysayers, but I'm with you. I don't. Not only now, I don't think he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer because I think that's the way that the writers do it. But I can tell you this. If he's not a Hall of Famer, they got it all wrong. Don't give me the fact that every guy that goes to the Hall of Fame has to have 300 wins. I don't want to hear that.
Yep.
In this era, we may never see another one.
No, I don't think
we may never see another one.
No.
We'll be right back. It's Anthony Peranio. It's Sean Salisbury here. It's Voice America Sports. We are unfiltered. Talking Andy Pettit in the Hall of Fame. Baseball. Trump and some football today. We'll be right back.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iRadioBlog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
We some hard hitters. We some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Looking for a top show about horse racing and handicapping?
Looking to play the ponies?
Join us every week for Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies website, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for listening. Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer is live Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bench his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Be right back. I'll just say this. If you're a fan that goes into a bar and tries to hoodwink some guy because you think it's cool and put it on your little video camera because some guy's in there kind, but you're also the fan that'll do that, then go up and kiss his ass and tell him you want to buy him a beer, then you're a pussy. And I hope somebody punches you so smack dab hard in the face you deserve it, knocks your teeth down your throat. And that's coming from a guy who's not a violent guy. I'm waiting for some time when – because this, that somebody just gets the living piss beat out of them for doing something sneaky and trying to hoodwink somebody in a bar after they've done something nice for them. I'm waiting for it. It says, screw it, I'll take my $50,000 or $100,000, lawsuit for knocking you upside your head. And I don't, believe me, I don't do violence. But you know what? There comes a point in time when enough's enough, where some little pussy ass hides over in the corner and videotapes Ben Roethlisberger singing with his buddies on a Tuesday at a bar, having a good time. The same thing that the guy with the videotape's doing, but the guy with the videotape's probably going home and jacking his stuff to it at 4 o'clock in the morning. Ooh, there's Benny. Ooh, there's Benny. And then sending it to the internet to make it look like Roethlisberger was doing something wrong. I know you types, folks. Seen them. They're out there every day. It's jealous, no jock, got picked last, guy who knows that if Roethlisberger wanted to hit on his girlfriend, would have taken her. And the guy just the bitter, that is the same guy that goes on and makes a comment negative about everything, everybody. If you're one of those guys, then, man, I hope you get yours. I do. I hope you get yours. And that'd be one of those, what if you knew it was the guy and you're there, you just kind of turn, if you're one of the group of people sitting around, you just kind of turn your back and let him take his ass. Well, I didn't see anything. I don't know who did it. Though that's how slimy you people are. A guy can't even go to dinner and have a beer with his friends on a Tuesday, so you send your crap into the internet. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Back to Anthony Peranio.
out in New York talking Andy Pettit and talking this. And one last thing, Anthony, those type of guys, you know what, I have no problem with one of those guys in a bar getting an ass kicking. I really don't, because Anthony, I can't tell you how many times I've watched a guy will say something stupid about a friend or about an athlete or even about me. I've been in that situation. I'm not near the celebrity these guys are. Mm-hmm. But then come up and be the first guy.
Right.
It has his tongue tucked up your ass so far, it comes out his throat. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's baffling to me. And then I'll run home and tell her. I mean, just, or the person who says, oh, yeah, I was out with so-and-so celebrity, meaning they were in the same bar.
Right.
But don't even know the guy, but we'll make sure they tell their friends they were out with him and they got a picture from 15 miles away. Oh, yeah, I was out with my buddy Ben. Really? But it's I'm waiting for one of those guys. And you know what? I'm to the point now. I didn't used to think that this was that like this, Anthony. I used to think, what are these guys doing, knocking these guys around? You know what? I don't have a problem if a guy's gonna cross the line. He deserves an ass whooping. I'm just telling you.
Yep.
And you know how we get on these? How could an athlete beat up some or knock some guy in the teeth and stand in line at a bar or in a bar? Because you know what, Anthony? I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'm to the point now where I get it. If you're Ben Roethlisberger and you saw the guy doing it, wouldn't you have either laughed and said, go ahead and do it, or have one of your buddies take his camera? Wouldn't it have been funny to have it smashed on the ground? I mean, I'm so fed up with the nonsense that these clowns are allowed to produce without having any accountability. I don't get it.
Right.
So every now and then, remember, you know, the type where you turn your other cheek and say, take him out to the woodshed and teach him a lesson?
Yep.
I don't have a problem with it anymore. Do you?
No. I think, you know, more than the ass-kicking, what would really stop, because I think what by ESPN and these sport networks actually putting this stuff on and showing it to you, it's actually giving more people, like, oh, the Super Bowl's coming to town. Let me go get a video camera and just walk around to different bars where I know they're going to be.
So you know, like
everyone all of a sudden is a reporter for TMZ.
Yeah, you know, screw over. Anthony, you know, you make a good point. Why, you know what, how, like, if ESPN or one of these networks is broadcasting a game and a streaker, or not even a streaker, a guy runs onto the field and now they won't show him anymore because they don't want to give him the publicity that he wanted anyway.
Right, exactly.
But now, they sure as hell don't have a problem throwing a video of a guy who's going to get credit for supplying the video for a Ben Roethlisberger standing in a bar. Then why don't they go tape Mike McCarthy having dinner with his wife and drinking two beers on a Tuesday? What's the difference?
Right, exactly. It's the same. It's the same thing. And for as long as ESPN is going to keep ESPN NFL Network, and they're going to keep putting these videos on, they're advocating, they're encouraging these people to go out and do this type of stuff. I can make a quick name for myself. I can be on ESPN Radio. I can be on TV for a couple of days, make a quick buck, and you know why not?
And I know
they're going to be down the block.
And also we're gonna do this, and we're gonna enhance. We're gonna give you that publicity, unless it's one of our guys.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, unless it's one of our guys. We're not going to let you do it. If it's one of our guys, we're not going to show that video on our network. Now, is that not a double standard? What if it was one of their guys who'd been in trouble in the past and all of a sudden was in there, you know, had been to whatever and been there drinking or in one of their analysts or one of their, you know, people, and you think they'd show the video?
No, of course not.
Of course, no. Sure they would. No way. You're exactly right. So, there's a standard, but man, we're into this smut media. We love this stuff nowadays, don't we?
Yeah,
absolutely love it.
It's sad. It's not even just, you know, in the sports world. It's in the entertainment world. You can't die. You can't even die in peace anymore. You know, there's people trying to get.
Can't. And when you die, we uncover all your skeletons. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't let you die in peace. Then we make your family suffer because you were, you know, you cheated on your wife, or you were gay, or you were, you know, that you had the, you know, a problem with the law at one point that nobody, you know, whatever it is.
I
mean, we can't even let a person who dies to say, you know, let's let him have some dignity. Okay, they screwed up 20. Oh, he smoked weed when he was in college. Really? Get in line. You know what I'm saying? It's like enough, folks. Enough. Matter of fact, we should probably have more people that admitted they smoked weed in college so we'd have more of a normal life so people could say, you know what? People actually do have a beer. People actually have smoked a joint. People have taken a painkiller before. People have cheated. People have actually had a girlfriend that they didn't want to have a girlfriend with. People have lied. We don't condone all this, none of us, but I only know one person that can walk on water. I can barely walk on ice. Okay? All right? With the frozen water. So they need to save this, perfect this. We create them, we tear them down, and we love to see them come back again. You know what? And the sad thing about it is these celebrities, and we were talking about this dehumanizing, like when Simeon Rice made the point, which was a great point, about athletes. We've got to the point where we've taken the human element out of it.
Yep.
But you know what, the same guy who's going to work today with his wife, is leaving his wife, going a 9-to-5 job at the bank, has mm-hmm. the same issues as that athlete does. The only thing is the world doesn't care.
No.
The world
no.
doesn't care. And TMZ's not getting a rating having Steve Jones, the bank CEO,
nope.
as opposed to Ben Roethlisberger, the quarterback. But, see, Ben Roethlisberger, the quarterback, not doing anything wrong is more of a story than a CEO of a bank banging some girl on the conference room table while his wife's sitting in the other room. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay because we don't know. That's not a ratings grabber. But it's
nope.
crazy. So it drives me nuts, and I hate even feeding it. But one of these times I'd like to say, you know what, I'd like to make them accountable for the people who do this nonsense.
Yep.
I'd like to make them accountable. But you know what? Maybe me and a handful of guys need to go to Capitol Hill and pass it where you can't just write something to write it, or can't just take a picture of somebody in a public place without an approval. You know, you're not allowed, if somebody comes and you have to identify the person. If a newspaper comes and wants to take a picture,
right.
they
got
to
yeah.
identify who the people are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So why doesn't some clown with a cell phone video camera have to do the same thing? And that being said, let's get back to Andy Pettit.
Yep.
Clean career other than the HDH. Great
yeah.
postseason, almost 20 wins. One of the great postseason pitchers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Pitching in the pinstripes, no bigger pressure situation than Yankee Stadium in the Bronx when you're a Yankee. It's like being, you know what it is. It's the New
yeah.
York Yankees, the pressure packed, and him still being able to come through. I personally think, and I know this is going to, people are going to say, no, he's not. I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but there's no way they're going to vote him on the first ballot.
No, when you look at first ballot Hall of Famer and you look at pictures of his era, he was never the best, but he was, he was there in the postseason every year. And every postseason start, you could throw him out there, and you knew you were going to get 7 innings. The situation, regardless of where it was, where he was pitching, you know, the situation he put himself into, no situation was ever too big for him. You know, he was a guy, he would give up his share of base runners. He would load the bases. But he would, you know, he didn't care. It was just he would
pitch
get himself
out
of it.
Pitch out, and you know, Anthony, you make a point. He was never the best, but you know, he's pitched for so long, you know, in the Roger Clemens area. Randy Johnson was a part of that. He was never the best wins wise. Was never the best Cy Young wise. But you know what? Could you make an argument that with his consistency and where he pitched and how he pitched, we could make an argument that he was a dominant pitcher in his era. He may not have won 21 games and 4 Cy Youngs or whatever, like Clemens. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But when I don't look at the best just as wins and losses, because that's had a lot to do with lineup and the days you pitch and that has a lot to do with it and being a little bit lucky.
Right.
The grind and the durability and the fact that you pitched under pressure and that they put you in every situation. I would have no problem from that era saying, okay, I'm going to put an all-star team together. Is Andy Pettit on it? You're damn right he's on it.
Yeah,
he's at the top of the list, and I'm not getting by my third pitcher before that guy's in the lineup. And I don't care the Randy Johnsons, the Clemens, all those guys. That's Pettit was a gamer and always has been. And I believe he could go out and win 15 games for the Yankees this year if he wanted to.
Absolutely. And the thing you said, you know, he was never the best. But like we said before the break, it was, you know, right now if you said, okay, for the Yankees, it's Game 7 of the ALCS or Game 7 of the World Series, he would have been the guy at any point in time, even though he wasn't the best pitcher, he was the guy you were choosing to pitch Game 7.
No question about it. But let me ask you this. Even though numbers never led and he's had a few, you know, he's been an all-star all the time and a gold glover, but has Derek Jeter ever been the best player in baseball?
He's never even been the best player on his own team.
So when I look at Pettit and Jeter, I look at similarities.
Yeah.
Durability, consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Plays great in big games, which Jeter's
right.
always been big in postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't talk.
No.
Takes care of his business. You know, hits you 310, 15 home runs, 70 RBI, score 100 runs. Won't
yep.
be the MVP. Will be in the talk because he's Derek Jeter. And if he did win an MVP, it was not because his numbers. Did he ever win an MVP? Did he win one?
No.
I don't think he did, but he's been in, you know, he's been in the top 5 and top 3 because he's their great leader, one of the best leaders in sports, not just in baseball. All these things. But you know what? The same adjectives I give to Jeter as an everyday player,
yep.
I give to Pettit. Same
yeah.
guy, never even maybe never even the best numbers-wise on their own team, but always in the All-Star game, always doing what's right, always making some big play, a backflip down at the home plate to get a guy out, stealing
yep.
a base, bunting somebody over. And Jeter with that, you know, that great, you know, hit the ball to right field in a situation as Jeter, you know, he's struggling a little bit during the end of the regular season, hitting 270, bam, base hit to right field to drive in a run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are Pettit and Jeter when it comes to the way you talk about them.
Yeah.
I think they're one and the same dude, don't you?
I never even thought of that, but that's actually like it's such a great comparison when you put an everyday player with a pitcher. You know, not even the best player, you know, on their team on the offensive or you know pitching part of the
right.
part of it. You know, not even in the top maybe five or six at their position at any given time, but they're both going to be in the Hall of Fame just because
you know
what they brought.
And here's the difference. And here, I guess the point I'm getting to is Jeter's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he will be.
I can't go to any team and make a better comparison for like mm-hmm. a pitcher to an everyday player on their own team over the course of time that mirror images each other with the consistency of their career without being the loudmouth or the self-promoter but doing their job but was never the best. I mean, you know, when Jeter broke in at shortstop, A-Rod was always a better shortstop. I mean, with the offensive numbers. And then it goes on a little bit. And you know, no matter what you look at, numbers-wise, there's always somebody better than Jeter.
Right.
Numbers-wise, there's always somebody better than Pettit. But I can mm-hmm. damn well tell you, even at this age, at this age for both these guys, if there's a World Series this year and I could pick an array of players around the league, I want Jeter and Pettit on my roster in the postseason in the World Series. I just do.
Yeah.
And then they're the same guy. One's left-handed, one's right-handed, one's an everyday fielder, mm-hmm. one's a pitcher. But when it comes to consistency, I look at them exactly the same. Got to have them on my team, got to have them as captains, got to have them as leaders, want the bat in his hand in the ninth inning, want the ball in his hand in the ninth inning. Mm-hmm. But when I say dominate, Jeter didn't dominate his era.
No.
He was just great the whole time. And yep. same with Andy Pettit.
Yep. And the Jeter argument, I'm always having this argument here with people who love all the Yankee fans who love Jeter. And it's a shame, you know, you being a Boston guy, the guy I always put into the equation is Garcia Parra, because I always say, you know, when Jeter was at the peak of his career, so was Garcia Parra. And if you put their numbers next to each other, the numbers that Garcia Parra put up for that 3 or 4 year span with the Red Sox is so sick. It's not even close. If that guy would have stayed healthy, it would have been, you know, Jeter probably wouldn't be a first ballot Hall of Famer because Nomar would be getting in ahead of him. Because the guy, it was sick, those numbers. I mean, I can't even, I think he won the MVP 1 year.
Yeah, if he could have stayed in Boston and stayed healthy and played his 15-year career, 16-year career, I want you to think about this for a second. Think about Garcia. You know who he you can compare him to? Terrell Davis.
That's
because there was about a 4 or 5 year stint when Terrell Davis was as good as anybody in the league, best back in the league.
Yep.
I can make the argument for a 4 or 5 year stint that hitters didn't want to face Garcia Parra. His numbers were alarming, and he was unbelievable. And it's the same way. And you know what? Neither one of those guys, Terrell Davis nor Garcia Parra, is going to sniff the Hall of Fame.
No, it's
injuries, really, yeah. shorter career. But boy, you're right, for a 4 or 5 year stint. And I love Jeter because, like I said, I love his leadership. But I'm a diehard Sox fan. I mean, I tell you, I'd take Jeter on the Red Sox tomorrow. Blasphemous as it may sound,
mm-hmm.
I love it. That being said, for that 4 or 5 year stint, Garcia Parra was as good as anybody in baseball when it came to the way he played defensively and offensively. He was a hell of a player.
He was amazing. I remember he had more walks and strikeouts 1 year with 38 home runs, 130. It was insane what he put up.
Yeah, absolutely. And then injuries got him, and he never was the same. But man alive, when he was at Boston and he was in his prime, boy, were they good.
I argue about him and A-Rod, but I think the whole package together, I would probably have taken Garcia Parra over A-Rod at that point. That's how
especially
good he was.
On the leadership side, too, you know, where the leadership has always been questioned by A-Rod, where Garcia Parra, you know, grasped it and gripped it and loved it, even though he took 47 minutes in the batter's box.
Oh,
I get that with all his little quirks and superstitions. But, boy, once he stepped in there and got loaded up, he was ready to go.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Ready to go. Okay, I got to have prediction. Score, winner, MVP.
All right, I'm going to go Steelers 27-24, and Ben gets the MVP.
And you don't think that's a hold that trophy high slap in the face to the media and the fans that hate him, do you?
I'd love to see it. It'd be awesome.
You know what? And it's funny, Anthony. You said 27-24 Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking, and you know, because I told you I was taking the Packers. I don't feel comfortable with it. And I would have, you know what? I'll stand up and cheer if Roethlisberger has a big game and they win. I will.
Right. Yeah.
Just for the in your face part of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I love Aaron Rodgers. You know how I feel about him. I know you love him too. And this is a special guy. And
yep.
you can't. I mean, I love both fan bases. I do. I think that the great passion in both. There's really nothing not to like about both franchises. You know what I'm saying?
No.
It really is.
Either way.
There's nothing. The only thing that I guess you can hate is you hate the Steelers. Or the people think that they, you know, hit late or sometimes play dirty, which I think that's called jealousy because they're so good defensively and because of what happened with Ben off the field. Other than that, the franchise, there's nothing to hate about either franchise. They play hard, they take care of their business, and they do it. I'm picking Green Bay 27-23. That's so funny you said Pittsburgh 27-24. I got Green Bay winning 27-23, but you know what? If it's 27-23 and Pittsburgh's got the ball with a minute to go, I don't feel real good because I don't think that you stop Roethlisberger on a final drive in any game. I just don't.
I haven't seen it happen all year.
Yep, and you may not see it happen. I mean, this is as good as there is when the game's on the line, so I think he's going to thrive on it. So that's cool. You got him 27-24. I'll take the Packers 27-23. But in truth, no matter what happens at the end of this game, I won't be disappointed either way, Anthony.
Nope.
Won't be disappointed either way because I think it's going to be a good game, and I can't hate the Rooney family. I can't hate the Packers,
nope,
front office or coaches. It's as classy of two teams when it gets to the way the organizations have run their teams as there is in the business. Just is.
Yep.
Can't hate it. It's not like the Miami Heat are playing the Lakers and you can hate both sides for different reasons. This is one of those, damn, I was rooting for the Steelers, but Packers won. Well, I can't hate them too long.
Exactly. That's the thing. People are asking me, "Oh, who do you want to win?" And I'm picking the Steelers, but who do I want? I just kind of shrug my shoulders and just kind of
say, "That's exactly what I do." I really don't. I want good football, and I'm gonna feel bad for the ones that lose, and I'm gonna love the ones that win. But make our pick and stick with it and see what happens. So you'll call in Monday, and we'll talk about this and see who's right. And I'm picking Aaron Rodgers as the MVP. So we're both going with the obvious. The quarterback's gonna carry him and be the MVP in the game.
Yep, that's always the easy pick to make.
Yeah, no question about it. They got the ball in their hands. But, man, I'll talk to you on Monday. Have a great Super Bowl weekend, buddy.
All right, you too, Sean. Take care.
Thanks. Anthony Perennial, one of the all-time greats. He will be a radio host and I think has some star power on the radio. I think he's great. I'm Sean Salisbury. It's Voice America Sports. We are Unfiltered. Coming back with an hour to go. Kevin Love not in the All-Star game. Andy Pettit should be a Hall of Famer. Don't care if you don't like him or not. Hall of Famer, no-brainer. We'll be right back.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for The Game Plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to The Game Plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we
cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked
locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSalls@gmail.com. That's SeanSalls@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Oh, man. Hour goes fast. Anthony made great points. We both believe that Pettit should be in the Hall of Fame. And, guys, I do. I believe Pettit and Jeter are mirror images of each other in as a everyday player and a pitcher, kind of their careers, the longevity. It's amazing. And I don't believe that the HGH admittance by Andy Pettit should have 1 ounce of play in whether the guy's a Hall of Famer or not. I just don't. I just think he's been a consistently great pitcher, a hard worker, and a stud, and deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I really do. I believe he's put up numbers in 240 wins in a juice ball era. Pretty damn good. And I think he's special. I think he's, you know, he's been class, taking care of his business, not a self-promoter, doesn't throw anybody under the bus, just does his thing. And pitched in Yankee Stadium to the tune of 5 championships, was part of that core 4 that we always talk about with the Yankees, and took care of his business in the regular season, in the postseason, and all the way in between. Hall of Famer, and it's a no-brainer. Sean Salisbury talking Super Bowl, talking All-Star Game. An NBA All-Star Game, should I say. Kevin Love deserved to be in it. He just did. I don't understand how Chris Bosh is an All-Star this year. He's an All-Star player. He's not an All-Star this year. I don't know what people – it's a popularity contest, and it's a game for the fans. I understand. But you know what? You got to take into account – that some of these guys, I mean, this means a lot to them. It means a lot to Kevin Love to get selected to the NBA All-Star game, whether they admit it or not. As much as I like Tim Duncan, Tim Duncan's not playing All-Star basketball this year. Playing great team basketball with their team, and Ginobili's obviously, he's an All-Star. But I don't, you know what, I don't, this is not a team award, I'm sorry. You can't have, you know, every Celtic make the All-Star team or every player on the Miami Heat. There's guys that are having better years than Chris Bosh. Tyson Chandler's having as good a year, and his impact on the Mavericks is every bit as important as Tim Duncan's is right now. Duncan's a great player. But you know what? His best years as an All-Star, an individual, are behind him. We just keep rewarding guys just because of their name, and it's a Lifetime Achievement Award. Now, they may win an NBA championship this year, and that's great. They may win the NBA title, San Antonio. But you know what? It doesn't mean you're an All-Star. It doesn't mean you're an All-Star. And Chris Bosh is not an All-Star. He's just not. And it's, you know, we got 4 Celtics. I mean, you know, that's making up, what, a third of the roster. You got, you know, given Miami, he just, you're a name and you just get in the All-Star game. I don't have a problem with D-Wade and LeBron James. I do have a problem with Chris Bosh. I do have a problem with Tim Duncan making it this year. I have a problem with Yao Ming being voted in. The guy didn't play. I just do. I think you got to reward guys who are having those type of seasons, All-Star seasons. It's just like in the Pro Bowl, just like in the Major League Baseball All-Star game. I've said this before. Every team doesn't deserve to have a representative in the All-Star game. If 6 guys from one team deserve to make the All-Star team, put them in, as long as they deserve it. That's not ballot box stuffing. You can't tell me that, you know, that somebody from that there's an All-Star on every team. A 270 hitter at the All-Star break with 12 home runs and 40 RBIs or 50 RBIs playing in Pittsburgh is not an All-Star. He may be the All-Star of his team, but he's not an All-Star. Every team should not be represented. Every team in Major League Baseball does not deserve to have an All-Star on their team because, oh, we want to make sure our Pittsburgh fans or our Seattle fans or our St. Louis fan, I mean, I'm being facetious with the Pujols thing, but, you know, whoever it is, if they don't have an All-Star, they don't have an All-Star. Can't force an All-Star down somebody's throat if they're on a shitty team and they got their best players hitting 270. That doesn't make him an All-Star. And no offense, if I'm a Boston Red Sox fan, which I am, and none of my guys deserve to be in the All-Star game, I'm not going to tune into the All-Star game just because a Red Sox made it. If a Red Sox didn't deserve it, they didn't deserve it. Keep their ass at home and put somebody in who does. If a San Diego Padre deserves to make the All-Star team, put him in. If 8 San Diego Padres deserve to make it, put him in. If none do, they don't deserve it. And the NBA All-Star Game, you know, obviously every team's not represented, but Kevin Love deserved to be in the All-Star Game. I can make an argument Tyson Chandler did. I can definitely make the argument Duncan and Chris Bosh didn't. There's going to be some that don't think Ray Allen's an All-Star. That Raymond Felton is, as Anthony mentioned, is 40 minutes a night. You know, I love Ray. You know, I love Ray Allen so much. He's one of those guys. Say, okay, man, one of my favorites. Put him in. But is it an All-Star? Are they having an All-Star season? Not last year. I'm talking about this year. Is Tim Duncan playing like an All-Star? Don't think so. But their team's great, and so he gets credit for it. But the All-Star game vote's not a team vote. Sorry, it shouldn't be. It's an individual vote. You look at the numbers and 21 points and 15 rebounds a game, Kevin Love, that's an All-Star season. It's an All-Star season. If Pouncey doesn't practice today in football for the Steelers, he's not going to play. At least that's what Mike Tomlin stated. He hasn't practiced, hasn't been ready to go. You got to allow your center and your team to get mentally ready for what they're supposed to expect without Pouncey. What they're supposed to expect. And so they can get themselves geared up mentally. I think the Steelers are gearing up mentally to play without Pouncey in hopes that if he comes in, it's a tremendous boost of adrenaline. That's the way I look at it. If the kid's able to line up and play in this Super Bowl as a rookie Pro Bowl player, it'll show a lot of balls. And it'll just give that, you know, Pittsburgh waking up on Sunday morning and all of a sudden Pouncey says, if he practiced today even, oh my gosh, because if he doesn't practice, he's not going to play, that jumps right into it and everybody's pumped up that Pouncey gets back on the field. Those type of things uplift teams big time. So we'll see if Pouncey can be that, if he's able to get through today. But all the focus kicks in now, folks. Nerves start to be shot. The guys aren't giving tickets to anybody else. You won't see the players at parties now. They may have to make a 6 o'clock dinner appointment or something, but you're not going to see them out past a certain hour a night. You're not going to see them in bars, at night. It stops now. You're basically a little more than 48 hours away from, 60 hours or so away from a game, whatever it is, and not even that long, I guess, 50-some hours away from playing a game. It's time to gear it in and lock in. This is the time you actually do stay in your hotel at night. You start to get out all distractions. If you're married and your wife's in town, you see her, have a quiet dinner with you and her and the kids, and then 9 o'clock, you start to gear down, get your butt in your hotel room and watch your DVRs or watch your movies and relax. Study your game plan a little bit more, and you're talking more football now. And then tomorrow, you walk through, you go through it, you have all your team normal functions on a Saturday, your team dinner, your team will be together for their team meeting Saturday night. And really, now it's gearing in. And then you put the playbook away, you stick it away, you're prepared, you don't overdo your mind on a Saturday night with sitting in that thing till 2 o'clock in the morning. You know it. By now you should know everything you want to do. If you want to watch a little extra tape on a Saturday night, you plug it in and watch some tape just for a few more, few last second, okay, I feel good. And then when you wake up on Sunday morning, all that stuff is put away in a bag and it's time to play. You may have a few extra, if you're the quarterback, you may look at a few extra things, or if you're a team that scripts a few plays, to go over things in your mind and you visualize and walk through, but you don't grind anymore. Once Saturday night hits, the grinding's over. It's now just relax, rest your body, rest your mind, get some sleep, give me your normal routine, get up, let's play football. Now, one thing that you have to, that is not talked about much, but you have to consider it. It's like Monday Night Football. It's the same thing, but when you think of the intensity of the 100 plus million people going to watch, or whatever it is, I don't even know what it is. It's worldwide. All 30 other teams are watching, like on Monday Night Football, but this is the one for the big diamonds and the ring and all the pride. 5 years from now, nobody will remember, unless you're a historian, who the second-place team was, who finished second. This is what it's about now. But the thing is, you wake up, you're going to have a hard time sleeping on Saturday night, at least most people would, I think. Wake up on adrenaline, you're going to want to have mid-morning meetings, and maybe if you're a person who likes to take a little bit of a power nap. But once you're up there, I don't even know how you'd nap on Super Bowl Sunday because your nerves are so shot, so you better get some rest on Saturday night. And really, the big rest better come tonight. On a Friday night, get all the rest needs to come tonight, because then it's adrenaline carrying you through the rest of the way. Rest as much as you can, but adrenaline kicks in. But the routine, the long day, it's 6:30 Eastern time, the game. We're in Dallas, so these guys, You know, if they get to the stadium a couple hours, 3 hours before the game, some will get there at noon. You know, that's just the way some operate. Some will be there at noon with the routine, taping up, walking. There's certain guys who get in there early and often and take care of their business, and that's the way they want to do it. That's exactly what they'll do. They will get there and they will roll through the whole process. I never was a guy who wanted to get to the stadium that early because it's too much. But there are guys that have routines that like to go out. I mean, Jim McMahon was one of them. McMahon loved to get there way early before the game because he used to, every single game, Jim used to kick, have a drop kick contest. He'd go out there on the field and get a workout in before the game. He'd drop kick from the 20 and 30, and he'd have contests and have a blast, kicking field goals, drop kicking field goals. He loved that. Jim would like it, and I'd get to the stadium, and Jim had already been through it. He'd come in sweating and have to clean up and get ready to go, but that was his routine. And people have their routine. So really, with the 5:30 Central time, 6:30 Eastern, with them here in Dallas, you know, you're going to wake up, you're going to have a morning breakfast, morning meetings, finalize the last minute. It won't be a long meeting in the morning. Finalize last-second details. Coaches will say, go get your rest, do what you do. And some guys will go back up, hop back in bed, or watch a movie, or laugh, or listen to music, start to gear up, and then, you know, right around noon, 1 o'clock, people start rolling to the stadium with crowds, and then you can either go on, some guys go on their own, and some guys will go on, team bus. The first bus leaves at one point, and then 20 minutes later, the second bus leaves, depending on how early you want to get there. And if you want to take a cab and get there before that, or a limo, the guys will do that too. So, and another key is, not only leading up to it, how you handle it, but is the halftime. Halftime's about 30 minutes, folks. Normally we're in there 12 minutes, 15 minutes, or what have you. But now halftime is long. So you go in there, and halftime is a bummer. I always hated halftime. If it was cold out and you were in a freezing game, you got into the locker room, it gave you a false sense of security, and you know you had to go out and play. If you're playing like in Lambeau and it's freezing in December, and then you got to go back out and play, that was miserable. And then if you're winning and you got momentum, you don't want halftime to interrupt it. You want to keep playing. If you're losing, that may be the only – losing in good weather is the only time you go in there and you need that 12-minute break to regather and make adjustments. Other than that, most time, heck, let's just meet on the sideline for 3 minutes like you used to do in Pop Warner football, grab an orange peel, and let's go play. Go play. But now to be able to gear up, It's going to be more than twice as long as your normal halftime by the time you kick off again. So that disrupts momentum. If you're an offensive guy, defensive guy, and you got things going, gives you a chance to adjust. That's a long halftime, and then you got to restretch. You got to literally restretch your whole body and get it and redo it. In the locker room, you'll be stretching and doing it all because you're going to be so tight. And think about all the stress and the muscles. Then you got to restretch. Halftime's an important thing in the Super Bowl. Important thing for all. Coming back, I'm Sean Salisbury. This is Unfiltered, just breaking down the last second details for these players. Choke factor will kick in, folks, and it's already started. I'm Sean Salisbury. We are Unfiltered.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Hey, did you know Voice America has partnered with the Kidstar Network to expand their reach through Voice America Kids? Voice America Kids will feature talk radio for kids by kids, along with special event programming and live broadcasts. Each program is conveniently archived for on-demand listening at any time. Please check our archives for the latest events and happenings on VoiceAmericaKids.com.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on, it will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone, where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's seansals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Oh, man. We're rolling along, and I'm sitting here thinking of just how this feeling must be for these players. How it must feel, how, you know, like I said, we've all been in big games, and this is the big one. I wonder the routine of Jim Kelly's routine. Jim will admit that he used to throw up before every game on purpose. Just helped his nerves, and I get that. You know, it's... If you've never been in a locker room before a game like that, for those who, many of you haven't, I mean, you have at your level and the rest of it for big games, and you know the feeling, whether it's a high school championship, and it's all relative, but for a big game or a playoff game, the feeling in a locker room is really the different, you know, you used to sit back and the different routines. Like I said, McMahon was the loosest guy on the planet. Jim McMahon was the loosest free spirit on the planet. Other guys, uptight, wouldn't talk, stressed beyond belief. Other guys kind of in between. Some loved the music. Some didn't love the music. Some loved, you know, it's weird. But a different athlete, the DNA of different athletes, how they go about a day like today. And what's the truth is, confidence has so much to do with how you play in a game like this. But here's what I always was fascinated with, even when I played, is the unknown. The unknown, that little bit of, okay, are they going to come out with something different today? That little bit of unknown, were you in your own mind? Everybody has a little self-doubt in a game like this. Everybody does. There's that self-doubt of, okay, have I done everything I can to be ready to play? Have I done everything? Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it takes, have I done everything I can to be ready to go out there and leave it on the field? And if you don't have to contemplate that long, you're probably ready to play. McMahon also used to say if he woke up without a headache in the morning, he didn't feel right. So Jim wanted to have a headache before he woke up. Some of us, like me, wake up with a headache. I don't like that feeling. But I had a routine. I needed to shower in the morning when I got up, and I always wanted to shower just before I left for the stadium. Sometimes when I got to the stadium after a workout in the morning, you go out there and you maybe go through your pregame workout before everybody goes out there and puts their gear on. Come back in and re-shower before you taped up and got ready to play. It just wanted that feeling. It's strange. It's strange. Some read, some lay in front of their locker, some sit up. I'm trying to give you insight to how all the times I've seen, you know, some guys spend an hour and a half on the toilet reading a program. And I'm not lying about that either. And it's for reasons because it's comfortable for them, and for other reasons that they can't control themselves. Nasty, yes, but true. Some guys eat a huge meal. They want to eat a huge meal, and their stomach, they got to eat the huge meal. I was never a big breakfast. I mean, I love breakfast, but I was never a big pregame eater. You got a little bit, but I'd always eat a candy bar or two at halftime coming in. People have a routine and they go about it. And if you're with Jim McMahon, he'd find a way to get you a hot dog during the game on the sideline. So Jimmy was great at that. If you were hungry, he'd say, okay, he'd get the usher. And in Chicago one year, the usher brought him and I a hot dog, and during a timeout, we took a bite of it, and that was fine. It wasn't any serious game situation, but it might have even been in the pregame. But Jim got us a hot dog, and we chowed it. Jim's got great stories. One of the great storytellers of all time about his playing career, some of the things. And one of these times we'll get him on, and Jim can tell you some of the great stories. And he's not afraid to share them. But it, in a Super Bowl like this, it's like – and then some guys you see maybe like eating a snack or drinking something on the sidelines. It's, it, you know, they have to do it for energy. They need it. So it's not like they're being unfocused. Some guys, you know, I wanted a candy bar, but I waited until I got in the locker room at halftime. It wasn't like I was just eating to eat. It was I wanted that second burst of energy, and it just was a superstition for me that I needed to eat a candy bar at halftime. And I did. The equipment man, Sammy and Dennis, always had me a candy bar at halftime, and I loved it. But so that I just, you know, I'm actually like get this feeling of anxiety for these players right now. But who deals with anxiety the best, folks, and pressure is going to end up winning. And I guess how, you know, you hear players say this is just another game. It's not just another game, but how your ability to be able to make it just another game is going to be paramount. How, I mean, the ability, if you can, if you're Ben Roethlisberger and you can make this just another game, if you can, in your mind, have convinced yourself that this is the third game of the regular season, then it'll be easier to get through. But if you sit and actually think about what you're about to entail, television-wise, the football world, the people who place bets on it, your teammates, your family, your hometown, your coaching staff, an organization, your legacy. When you start to think about that, it's overwhelming. Have you ever done, you know, have you ever, if you're a business person, you got to give a speech to people, or if you're, think about, or if you're, when I went to go on TV, if you're looking into the camera thinking about, man, 15 million people may be watching this pregame show. Or if you go on that camera thinking, you know what, I'm only talking about a handful of my buddies that are watching. It's easier because you just roll with it and you're talking. You don't really realize, oh my gosh, the levity and the how paramount the situation is. And let's say, I know it's a game, folks, but really, it's not a game. This game's changed lives, good and bad. If you're Scott Norwood, nobody will ever let you forget missing a field goal. If you're Jackie Smith, dropping the ball in the end zone. Hey, while, you know, life goes on, but those pictures stay there. We've never gone a Super Bowl year, highlights leading up to a game, without seeing Norwood or Jackie Smith in the Super Bowl, or hearing about Barrett Robbins or Stanley Wilson or Eugene Robinson in the off-the-field situation. These are things that will stick out with them forever. And if you ask them why, I'm probably sure they don't know. Yeah, I mean, think about it. Think about Barrett Robbins and, you know, the bipolar situation, the rest of it. You played great. You're a Pro Bowl type player. Your team's in the Super Bowl, and you wake up on Sunday morning. Nobody, players don't know where you are. You know, you're not around. You find yourself in Mexico, and you're thinking, "I'm actually sitting here. I'm missing the Super Bowl, where I'm the starting center." I want you guys to fathom that for a second. Fathom it, or fathom what a former teammate of mine, that if I could name five players in the history that I've ever played with, I would have never thought he'd be one of these guys. And he's still a friend of mine to this day, and I love him, Eugene Robinson. A great person. Made a monumental mistake and got in trouble for it. But the night before the game, you know, got caught with the police and an undercover person, you know, paying for the soliciting of sex and the rest of it. But Eugene was spiritual, and you never would have thought. You know, if I had said, oh, somebody will never get in trouble the night before the game, a team captain type guy, a leader. And with Atlanta, got in for that Super Bowl the night before the game. And you sit there and wonder, what makes a guy do that? I don't know. Like I said, I don't judge Eugene. Hey, he made a mistake. And it ended up, I know that it was, and I've talked to Denver Broncos, that it was a confidence builder for the Broncos also when that happened. Because when that adversity kicked in, it's like, oh my gosh, we got him right where we want him. But you'd think that you're mostly spiritual and guys, one of your great leaders gets in trouble the night before a game. Well, you know, you wake up, if you're Eugene Robinson, when you finally do and they get out of jail and you get from trouble, what are you thinking about? Think about all the things that go through your mind, who you've let down. Like I said, I don't judge Eugene. I love him. One of my favorite people I've ever played with. But it did have an effect on his team. So when you start to look at about the collateral damage, good and bad, that you go through if you don't play well or if you do, this is a career changer. It is a contract changer. It is a respect changer. All your peers look at you. Santonio Holmes, for the Jets now, will always be the great catch he made is going to be a Super Bowl MVP for life. No matter what happens in his career, he's got that to look back on and say, one of the great days of my life was in that Super Bowl. You'll never forget that. And most guys don't get back a second, third time, folks. I mean, what Pittsburgh's doing and the aberration, there's only one guy, I think, on Green Bay who's been to a Super Bowl. It's not that easy. You know, the Charles Haley, who's been to five of them or what have you, those days, those aren't easy to come by. That's what makes the Roethlisbergers, the Bradys, and those guys on those teams, and the Steelers team, the Hines Wards, so special. These don't, they don't grow on trees. Most of these guys will never get this shot. And you either seize the opportunity and play good, or you choke it up. And there will be a choker in this game. Somebody's nerves will get the best of them somehow, whether it's a drop pass in a clutch situation, or somebody's nerves, they'll prove that they got nerves of steel, and they'll, boom, roll right through it and make a play on the biggest stage in the world in the NFL and make a play, and everybody will look at him and say, no matter what happened, that guy knows how to play when the pressure's on. You're going to get that side of it too. Boy, you want to be on the good side of it. You know, nobody knows about Timmy Smith. You don't remember Timmy Smith, the Redskins. Some of you do. What, he rushed for 202 yards in a Super Bowl? Got a big contract after that, but never really was much of a player again. But, boy, what a way to choose an average career, or just a very average career, to have the biggest game of your life. To rush for two Bills on a Super Bowl field? Think about that now, folks. Because no matter what has happened in his career, he's always going to be able to say, yeah, but did you see me in that Super Bowl? Boy, you can be as average as you want. Play big in that one big game, and you leave a legacy forever. So I feel for these guys now. I mean, the feeling like right now, don't you wonder what's going through? They're getting ready to go out and go through their walkthrough and do all that, but you got to have that feeling of, oh, my gosh. Think about it, and I just want you to think for a second, the most nervous and the most anxiety, the most anxious you've ever been. It's 888-346-9144. Think about the most anxious you've ever been. And maybe, and in your world, it's like I said, it's relative, but then multiply it by everybody on TV watching, and every mistake you make at your office is put for 100 plus million or 200 million, 150 million, whatever it is to see. And now you think about oh my gosh, and the pressure of the situation. You know, isn't it kind of marvelous how some of these guys are so clutch and can play great in this type? The DNA, the temperature goes up, and the great players seem to have a way of calming their nerves. Yeah, to think about, take your biggest sales presentation you've got to make and make it in front of 150 million people for everybody to scrutinize. And you get one chance to do it. Pretty scary, huh? When you look at it, you understand why these guys get paid the money they get paid. You understand why these guys are held in such high regard. This is the elite of the elite, There's about 1,600 of them playing. And in this game, there's just a little over 100 playing on the field on Sunday. I'm trying to break it down to you in the clearest brass tacks, just from building blocks to the foundation. Equipment people are nervous. They want to make sure they get the helmets right. I mean, it's everybody. There's an intense feel that goes through. And I'm, like I said, I'm feeling it now, and I'm not having anything to do with the game on Sunday. But I think that's why we love it so much. It comes down to one big. It ain't like the NBA Finals where you get seven of them. World Series, you get seven of them. Well, the stage is big and the pressure is huge. Don't misunderstand me. But this isn't a best-of-seven series. You only get one. We get 60 minutes and maybe an extension of 60 minutes in overtime, but more than likely 60 minutes to leave it out there and wonder if you'll ever get back. You don't get to miss eight jumpers in game one and then come back and have three great games and win the NBA Finals. That doesn't happen in the Super Bowl. That doesn't happen in this league. It doesn't in the NBA. You don't get to strike out four times in game one and come back and hit three home runs in the next three games and be the World Series MVP in the Super Bowl. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. You get one role for 60 minutes in the biggest game of your life, and which will be one of the defining moments of not only your career, of your life, because athletes are usually, a lot of times, define themselves by their career because of the egos and what they do have been taught and programmed this way. Been taught and programmed that your self-esteem is basically on how far you can throw a football or how many games. And I'm not saying that's right, but we all get caught up into it. Because you're not going to judge, unfortunately, most of the time, you're not going to judge the right tackle by the way he raises his kids. You're not going to be judging the center by the way he snaps the ball to Roethlisberger if he lays it on the ground. What you're going to judge, I mean, you're not going to judge him by his family. You're not going to judge him by the amount of dollars he gives to charity. I mean, you're fine and dandy. But when all's said and done, when you put a stamp on it, you're going to say, man, that center, he may be the greatest guy in the world, may have played, you know, had a good career, may be the best father on the planet. But if he plays bad in this game, that's how he's going to be judged. And that's the stamp you're going to put on him. You're not going to judge. I could ask people, how many kids does Joe Montana have? How many years has he been married? How many kids does Steve Young have? Is he married? Is he not? How many Super Bowls does Steve have as a starter and a backup? You'll know that. How many, you know, cars, what does Joe Montana drive? Or where does Joe Montana live? How many Super Bowls does Joe have? You'll know that. You'll know about the John Taylor slant route for a touchdown against Cincinnati. You'll tell me that, but we won't know. You don't know if Joe Montana, what he does now. What's Joe do now? You know what Howie Long does because he's on TV. How many kids Howie Long got? Where does wife go to school? Where do they live? You know, Howie Long played in Super Bowls and is on TV. That's my point is, this is how big this game is. Whether it's right or wrong, good or bad, different or indifferent, that's how you're going to judge these guys. What you see on Sunday starting at 6:30 Eastern for the next 3.5 to 4 hours is exactly how you're going to judge this guy, regardless if he's the greatest guy on the planet, unless you're in his inner circle of family, of course, and friends. But just on TV, for the most part, you're going to judge James Harrison by the way he plays in this game, not by the guy who's off the field. You're going to judge Hines Ward by how many plays he makes in this game, or Aaron Rodgers, or Mike Matthews. It's just the beast, the nature of it, man. The nature of it. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're Voice America Sports. We got one more segment to go. Finalize this and move on as we look forward to Super Bowl Sunday. 888-346-9144. I'm Sean Salisbury. We are unhookered.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
Get ready to talk sports. with someone who definitely has an opinion, but respects yours as well. The beginning of every week is Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. We'll talk about what happened this weekend and what to look forward to next weekend. Keenan and his guests are ready to discuss the issues with you about football and sports in general. It's Crunch Time with Keenan Howery every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. And make your voice heard.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals at gmail.com. That's SEANSALS at gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
My man, EC, talking about this Ben Roethlisberger and the coverage and the dirt we put out there. As many analysts and people in your industry spend too much time trying to become a story, the fact is ESPN practically every single show continue to ask opinions from the analysts and panel of experts. Speaks of the problem with the sports media. Nothing is sacred. These guys, I would have hoped, would add some intelligence and reason to the discussion. While not excusing Ben, God knows women who follow athletes to bars and to the bathroom are not there with puritanical intentions, and I do understand that no means no. Said Keyshawn and Steve Young commented about perception being reality, that Ben should do better, and in my opinion, they failed to see how they help to distort people's perception about this issue. Speaking about perceptions, what about the true perception of the groupie that follows players to the bathrooms? All the while they're discussing on Thursday and Friday a non-story that took place on Tuesday, and they speak of perception being reality, should we blame the 24 hours news cycle that perpetuates non-stories? Great point, and he was also talking about the Urban Meyer, who they put on ESPN, just hired. Urban Meyer was, I didn't see it, on this signing day with all these high schools, was ill-prepared, didn't even know the name of the coach of the people he was talking about, and that's too bad. That's too bad, and I think preparation, like I always say, and it's in my Facebook, proper preparation prevents piss-poor performance. And AC always says he's split between the two teams. He's uncomfortably picking the Steelers, as I am uncomfortably picking the Packers. So AC, I get it, he loves Rodgers, but he thinks Woodley and Harrison are going to have at some point put a hit on him that's going to mentally and physically take its toll. And he also agrees that Andy Pettit is a Hall of Famer and that the Yankees are in trouble without him, and they are. Because Burnett's going to have to step his game up and change his performance in order to get better. They've lost themselves a solid, steady starter. The Yankees are struggling with all the moves the Red Sox made this offseason. The Yankees, starting out the season, are going to be the ones in the chase mode. If the Red Sox stay healthy with all the injuries, they're the clear favorite. And then adding the bats of Carl Crawford and Adrian Gonzalez should be interesting. Pettit is a Hall of Famer. Great points, AC. I appreciate you. He's taking the Steelers with trepidation, and I think a lot of us. This is a friend of mine, Lori Gabriella Rush, too, who's a high school friend of mine who's a diehard sports fan, and she hit it, and I saw it on Facebook, that she loves football, and she likes to bet the games and have fun, but this is as hard a time as she's ever had picking a Super Bowl. I agree, whether you're picking on point spread basis or just straight up. If you're a Packer fan, you know you're picking the Packers. If you're a Steeler fan, you know you're picking the Steelers. That being said, what if you're a Packer fan or a Steeler fan and you're a bettor? You're a high-stakes bettor. Do you bet? How do you bet? If you're a gambler, how do you bet? Do you bet by your heart or by the point spread? How do you bet? I'm not a bettor. I mean, I know how to pick games and know how to do that, but I don't place my money on them. I may have a little fun, you know, with a gentleman's bet or bet somebody $100 or $20 or something just for the pride of watching the game. But I'm not a bettor. I don't go to, you know, Vegas and lay down $5,000. I just don't do it. Some people love it. I don't. I don't. I'd rather give my money to charity than lose it in a gambling in a bet. Now, I can pick games and help you make money, but I don't usually put my own money on it. I don't know why, but I just am not a big bettor. Never have been. That being said, I like the fun bets, and you know, maybe one day I'll change and want to do it, but that's just not my MO. But other people love it and are great at it, and I know how to handicap and pick games, but I just don't dig into my wallet to do it. But how do you bet? I've always wondered, if you're a Packer fan, but your gut tells you Steelers, you root the money on the other, but yet it's like a fantasy football, the way we do in fantasy now. You may have the quarterback for your fantasy team playing against your regular team you root for that you grew up with. Who do you want? It's the same in the betting thing. That would be hard for me to distinguish the two, because I'm not betting against the Red Sox. I'm just not. That's not my gig, because they're my team, and I couldn't do it. So, but if you're a Steeler fan, and I know the confidence, and you want to show it out there, but you cannot be overly. You can't, and now you're confident in talking it and talking yourself into it, but there's still got to be part of you that says, we can be beat with a few mistakes. And if you're a Packer fan, you can't be comfortable going into this game. You can feel good about your team, but you can't be overly comfortable saying it's a no-brainer. There's nobody out there on either side of this that can tell me this is a no-brainer pick. I don't believe it. I don't believe if you're a Packer fan, you can come in here and tell me it's a no-brainer, Steelers have no chance. If you're telling me that, you're either your rose-colored glasses. If you're a Steeler fan and saying it's a no-brainer, we're going to kick their ass, then you haven't watched Aaron Rodgers play, or Clay Matthews, or Charles Wood. So I'm in agreement. I think this is an extremely difficult game to pick. Extremely. Straight up, field goal is going to make a difference. Those half points that they put up there, crazy. And you know what? Just take a look at the track record of Vegas. Over-unders and point spreads, they're not wrong very often. That's why they're still in business. And you're still scrambling to pay your debts after losing. I mean, there's people that are going to throw $1 million, $2 million on this game. Man. You're going to have big balls in Cowtown to do that. Speaking of Cowtown, we're in Cowboy country now. And I'd venture if you went and polled all Cowboy fans, most of them, even though they can't stand either team, most of them are rooting for the Packers because they don't want the Steelers to be continuing to extend their Super Bowl ring lead over the Cowboys. It's true. They hate Pittsburgh Steelers. But we got ourselves one hell of a Super Bowl, folks. All the nonsense aside about Ben being at a piano bar, all the talk and history and all that, this is one hell of a matchup on both football teams. And if you like great football, you got the best matchup in the NFL this year, the two best teams. They're the two best teams because they earn their right to be here. There's teams with more talent, teams with better quarterback, teams with better running back, teams with better wide receivers. Well, you put the whole package together, there's a reason these two teams are still standing. And I know it makes the Ravens sick, and I wouldn't want to be watching this Super Bowl in person either. Let alone it's tough enough to watch it at home. If you're the Patriots, if you're a Vikings fan, you hate it because you root against the Packers, but maybe you should root for the Packers. They're in the same division, saying makes you feel better because the team from your division won a Super Bowl. If you're a Bengals fan, do you root for Pittsburgh? A Browns fan, are you rooting for the Steelers? Ravens fan, are you rooting for the Steelers? Vikings, Detroit, Chicago. You're a Bears fan. Can you actually root for the Steelers or for the Packers after they knock you out? You tell me. It's one hell of a matchup, though. One hell of a matchup, and it will come down to, folks, three or four plays. I don't ever believe one play wins or loses a game. It may define the game if a guy misses a field goal at the end. It's 24-24, and you'll blame it on the kicker. But there could have been six or seven plays in there. It could have been the play before on third down where Ben's got a guy open in the end zone and overthrows him, where they could have won with a completion there and taken the ball off the kicker's foot. Aaron Rodgers, we go to Minnesota last year. If Brett Favre runs instead of throws across his body, the Minnesota Vikings have a chance to kick a field goal and win the game, and they're in the Super Bowl and could have very, very easily beaten the Colts. Now, we blame the throw, but let's go back to remember that I think Adrian Peterson, didn't he lay it on the ground three times in the game? So it wasn't just Brett Favre's throw, although that's the last memory you have of last year. in the AFC, in the NFC Championship game. So we'll always, there's the defining moment that says, oh, he snap-hooked a field goal and we lost. But you can look through the game, the course of four, five, six, seven plays that will define those situations. Because on third and five, if your quarterback's got a receiver open and misses him and then it forces you to kick a 44-yard field goal in a pressure situation, a Super Bowl, which that's their job, they got to make it. But if a quarterback overthrows the receiver the play before, now whose fault is it? Is it just always on the kicker, or could you have taken the ball away from the kicker and put it in? I always believe if I got a chance to score before I let my kicker kick. Too many bad things can happen. Snap, block, penalty, snap, hook, the timeout that comes just before the kick, all those things. I don't want my kicker lining up and kicking. I'm sorry, unless it's Adam Vinatieri, I guess. Now, there's good kickers on all these teams, but you know what? I'd rather have my solid running back or my quarterback diving over for the winner instead of missing a third down throw and me not allowing my and making sure that my kicker doesn't get to the field. That's just me. So, but there will be defining. You watch and you keep an eye on it. The two things that I if you want to have fun keeping stats, mark your first down and third down and compare the two. Mark how many yards your team gets on first down, and then every series, first and third, every series, just a little note. I'll just put a piece of paper down. First down, third down. And I want to see the correlation, and if it's third and long, how many third downs they get. And if it's first and if it's third and short, how many they convert on third down. And I want to see if in this game, which most of the time there will be direct correlation, if in a Super Bowl with this pressure, if the correlation in third down percentage completed, where everybody says third down's the most important, I think first down's the most important. Let's correlate it and see if there's not direct correlation with third down and nine, three times they got two of them wrong. I mean, they didn't get two of them and converted one. Third down and two, they go 4 for 4. Do that. If you want to have a little different stat in the game, just keep it in your mind and then compare the stat to yourself. If I can remember to do it, I'm going to. But then you can also go on the paper, look at the stats or the game line and say, okay, every first down, they got this amount of yards. But if it's third and nine, third and ten, I'll bet you the third down percentage is down. So first is most important. And then go through there and just keep in your mental picture. In the first quarter, a third down and four, drop ball. Second quarter, fourth and one, they go for it and get stuffed at the opponent's 37-yard line. Instead of punting them back to the four or kicking a field goal. And then third, keep that in your mind, and then you'll be able to go back and count. I'm not talking about every play where a guy gets stuffed for a run. I'm talking about plays that could have been made that weren't. Keep track of those. Maybe what, 7, 8, 9 plays, 10 plays maybe in the game. Go back and tell me if you can just define it by one play that you'll have to define it by more. There'll be a guy open on a deep pass that's overthrown. And that's the old theory. You had a chance to put the ball in the end zone and didn't settle for a field goal, 4-point swing. If the other team doesn't score, it's a 4-point. No score, it's still a 4-point swing because I got the 7, you got the 3. So keep an eye on those things like that, and you'll be able to come back here when we talk on Monday saying, man, second quarter, third down and two, ran a sweep, the tight end missed his block, tackle for a loss, we got a punt. Those are the things that are going to stick out in this football game. In a game of this magnitude, it will come down to that. Both these teams are too good. You're not going to get a team that's going to go 80 yards 6 times in a row and just grind it out and score 42-10. I don't believe that these two teams are capable of burying the other team. And in a game like this, a 10-point swing is burying the other team, I guess, depending on when that team, unless a touchdown happened late. But, you know, you're talking 10 points or more. It's huge. But I don't see a team being able to do what the 49ers did to the Chargers. No way. This is going to be on your heels. You poor fans, you're going to be biting your fingernails and getting an ulcer if you're a Packer or Steeler fan or a big bettor all the way till the end of this one, I think. I just do. All the way to the end of this one. It's been one hell of a football season, guys. I'm taking the Packers 27-23. I'll take Rodgers to be the MVP. I tread lightly with that. If the Steelers win, I'll stand up and cheer. I don't care who wins. I'm just going with the team I picked in August was the Green Bay Packers, and I'm sticking with it. But I do not feel comfortable with it because the Pittsburgh Steelers are one hell of a franchise. And I'm rooting for a great game, and I don't care who wins, but I'm just going to go with what I picked in August so I don't waffle. It's been one hell of a football season with all you guys' input, but it's not going to end. We'll take a few days off on football, and then free agency and the collective bargaining agreement, all these things. So football's year-round. But, boy, the memories of the season and some of the plays and some of the off-the-field, some of the on-the-field, a lot of the on-the-field, it's been unreal watching some of the performances and games and plays and watching rookies like Bradford and Ndamukong Suh, watching Danny Woodhead come out of nowhere to play great football, Patrick Hillis up in Cleveland, who's become a star in this league, and then Cleveland doesn't have to draft a running back, the McNabb story, Michael Vick's comeback story this year and how he performed and finishing at the top, the Patriots laying an egg against the Jets and the Jets shutting them down in the playoffs, the Minnesota Vikings up and down, three or four coaching changes during the season, Jeff Fisher out in Tennessee now after the season, after the coaching jobs are filled up, Urban Meyer in college football, well, they're done. Cam Newton, all the stuff that surrounded him and him being able to withstand it, the pressure. The draft coming up. I mean, it's been an amazing, amazing, amazing season. And it culminates on Sunday with the two best teams in the NFL this year. Two great quarterbacks, an unbelievable matchup. Classy organizations, well coached. Should be a great one, folks. Thanks to Voice America Sports, everybody involved, Anthony, AC for chiming in. All the people, emails, calls, everything that you guys do. I hope it's a great football Sunday for you. Special, special time. Super Bowl. Think about it. Put yourself in their shoes and wonder what nerves you're going through from now until then. Think about that feeling you have watching the game on Sunday. Imagine what your nerves would be like if you were playing in it. A lot of respect had for these players. Good luck to both teams. I'm Sean Salisbury, Voice America Sports. We're Unfiltered. Appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you on Monday at 9 a.m. Central. Breaking down every aspect of this game should be a great one. You guys have a good one. Talk to you later.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 10 a.m. in the East, 7 a.m. in the West on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.